Question 84. Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keepeth the law? John 7:19. Jesus was pleading with the people around him to understand that he was not sent, nor was he preaching, in his own name. Rather, he was sent by the Father to do the Father's will. Yet the people could not, or at least would not, see. As Jesus begs them to understand, he says, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." This scripture makes it clear that if a man will do God's will, he can know whether the doctrine he hears is of God or not. Wow! What a promise! We can live without fear of deception by living in God's will. There are those who refuse to read or even hear doctrine that has not been approved by their pastor or their denomination or their loved ones. But here we see that we can live in such a way that we would never be deceived, that we would know by inner witness whether a scripture, a doctrine, a word from God, or a revelation is true. The 17th verse declares, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself." James 1:22 bolsters this idea by asserting that we are to be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The deception is self-imposed when we don't do what we're told. There are those who have no interest in reading apocryphal text, Gnostic Gospels, Dead Sea Scrolls, or even versions of the Bible other than theirs, because they fear being deceived. The people of Christ's day struggled with the same fear about Christ himself. They questioned themselves and Christ as well to see if he was indeed the Messiah. Listen to some of the questions they ask among themselves. "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" They reasoned, "Howbeit we know this man whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Then they thought, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Many of the people said, "Of a truth this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. They were vacillating back and forth in their own minds about whether or not Jesus was really the Messiah. Their quandary was not much different than ours is today. Would not our walk with Christ, our level of dedication, and our worship be deeper, richer, and upon a higher plane if we settled once and for all that the Christ we know within us is indeed the Christ of the Bible and the very Son of God? When these basic truths are in doubt, we're weak in our faith. When we're weak, we tend to cling to temporal and tangible reinforcements for our faith. This is an inroad to idolatry. We begin to look to signs, symbols. We dabble in the mystical and mysterious instead of developing a faith based in reality and reason. Our blessings are more like luck, and our tragedies become bad karma. Oh, we may give God the glory for our blessings, but in truth, we have no idea how they came about. We beg God to show himself to us and make his way clear to us, to reveal truth, to verify doctrine, and thereby condone our behavior and our so-called faith. His answer is sad, but nonetheless true. I have revealed things to you before, and you did not listen. I have given codes to live by, rules to judge by, and I reveal myself in all of them. But you will not do them. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keepeth the law. By this he reveals a key for which we have been searching. He says that the key to understanding, the way to know truth from error, is to do God's will. Here's something totally within our control. If we do what God has revealed in his commandments, and we live in them and by them and do so in faith, we would recognize Christ in the doctrines we hear, or we would know them as false. He says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Jesus told us these revelations of God by way of the law and our obedience to it would have helped us in our recognition of Christ. What an honor it would have been to have had such insight, to recognize Christ and his doctrine, to recognize God the Father and his doctrine. How do we receive such insight? By doing the will of God. We simply do what he has revealed. God said, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Here it is again. Defection from truth and the beginning of idolatry brought about by discounting God's law. In my study of doctrines and denominations that are false, there is one common thread that seems to run through most of them. Jehovah is forgotten. The God of the Old Testament hardly appears in the day-to-day living with their denominational guidelines. The Father of our Lord is depicted as a God who failed to redeem man his way, and now his Son is going to try. The laws of God are negated and considered condemning or ineffectual. His calendar is forgotten as unimportant, antiquated, and replaced by pagan observations of times and seasons. His prophets' writings hide in obscurity and uselessness. Yet Jesus told us these revelations of God would have helped tremendously our recognition of Jesus as Messiah. As it is, without such revelation, we flounder and stagger around not knowing, not sure, seeking, and yet not finding. The only assurances we have are the masses of like-minded people to whom we go for counsel. But there are precious few doctrines that God himself verifies. We console ourselves by saying that the masses can't be wrong. But who really believes that? It's futile to ask or beg God to show us whether or not doctrines are truly his or not. He made it plain in Scripture that guidance and steadfastness are products of a life lived in obedience to his law. It's pointless to question, test, and deduce in order to arrive at a conclusion as to whether or not doctrines are true or false. Jesus said, if we lived in his Father's will, we would know that his doctrine is true. Why do we beg God for guidance when we have proven we will not follow it? Why do we ignore his obvious counsel to live by his commandments? When we live in doubt and disobedience and ask for such a word of affirmation? Or when we ask him to lead us not into temptation? His answer could only be, Why do you not keep the laws I gave you for that very purpose? If you ask for confirmation, guidance, or even verification of doctrines that you question, Jesus must reply, "Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law?"